Hey, everybody, it's Brent Porsche here at 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. And joining me now is one of my all-time favorite guitarists responsible for such mega hit songs like Higher and With Arms Wide Open, Rise Today, Open Your Eyes, Isolation, Ghost of Days Gone By, Metalingus, and so many more, rocking stages around the world for over 25 years now, selling close to 60 million records worldwide with Creed and Alter Bridge, and of course, his most recent band, Tremonti. He's a Grammy Award winner. He was named Guitarist of the Year 3 consecutive years in a row by Guitar Magazine, and in 2011 was named the 4th best heavy metal guitarist ever by Total Guitar Magazine, touring in support of their 4th studio album, A Dying Machine. We welcome back to Philadelphia and the Electric Factory this upcoming Saturday night, Mr. Mark Tremonti. What it is, sir?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us at MMR.
Thank you very much.
So I got to say, I mentioned a little bit in the intro there that I am a huge fan, and I have been a huge fan of yours for many, many years. A couple stories first, going back to the Creed years. In fact, one of my first Creed shows was up at Hershey Park Stadium in 2000, I believe. And you guys were on the road with Seven Dust and Finger 11. Do you remember that tour?
I think I remember taking the Hershey Factory tour on that run.
Yes.
So I was back when you were allowed to. I think they stopped doing that nowadays.
Yeah, that's where you get the you did the actual factory as opposed to the Chocolate World ride.
Oh, no, we went in there. Yeah, we got to see him stirring the chocolate.
Pretty
yeah,
cool.
Great.
Yeah, so it's funny because the guys in Seven Dust were actually walking around the park throughout the day, and I ran into LeJean and the boys, and we actually rode Super Duper Looper together. I rode a roller coaster with Seven Dust, which was cool. But as fate would have it, after the show, my buddy's car wouldn't start. And mind you, at this time around 2000, there were no cell phones. And we had to wait over an hour for our friends to come pick us up. So we were walking around the parking lot and right by the gated area where they had the tour buses kind of tucked in. We saw you. We saw Flip. We kind of hollered at you guys through the fence to the dismay of the security guards that were around you. But you were nice enough to come over. You and Flip came over to say hi and chat with us for a few seconds. So I thought that you made a shitty situation much better. I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
I say thank you.
Yeah. So as the second time I met you was with Alter Bridge, and I had the honor of doing a stage intro for you guys at the Chameleon Club up in Lancaster. This was during the Blackbird tour, and it was in front of a very much sold out crowd. I also got to catch the sound check before the show, and you guys were jamming all sorts of Led Zeppelin tunes, which was super cool. The last time I met you was during the All I Was tour, your debut album with Tremonti. It was out at Bam Margera's old club, The Note, out in Westchester. Does that venue ring a bell at all?
You know what? I'd be lying if I said it did. I've been through so many venues over the years, they all kind of get blurry. Until I walk in the venue and see the stage, then I remember.
Sure.
The names of them, I kind of forget along the way.
No, I got you, man. You and Alter Bridge were also part of a really cool moment in MMR history when we got to broadcast your entire 2007 show at the Electric Factory live to all of our listeners. Do you happen to remember that?
I do remember that, for sure.
Very cool. Yeah, that was such a cool moment. And you guys had another animal out on the road with you at the time, the guys in Godsmack with Whitfield Crane, right?
Absolutely. We had a great time on that tour. I got the sticker on my guitar to this day.
Yeah, I know. That's another thing. Got the AA on your guitar, which is cool. And you guys did a ripping version. You guys with Whit did A Whole Lot of Rosie together. That was a highlight for sure.
Oh, yeah. Whit knows how to sing some AC/DC for sure.
And what was the band that Whit put together, I mean, within the past few years? I know Miles jumped on a track with him probably a couple or so years ago.
You know, I'm not sure. Miles keeps in contact with him every time he's over in Europe. He comes and visits. We see him every now and then, but I haven't spoken with him in a year or so.
Okay. Cool. So MMR this year, we're celebrating our 50th anniversary as a rock station here in Philadelphia, and I believe that this year marks the 25th anniversary of the formation of Creed. Is that true?
We got together, well, our first record came out in 97.
Right.
And then we got together maybe in 94.
Okay. So getting there.
Getting there, man.
I got you. So talk a little bit about the infancy of the band. Take us back to the mid-90s, pre-My Own Prison. Like, you know, to tell us how the band kind of came together, how you guys started talking in the first place, and tell me about the first Creed show that you ever performed that you remember.
Yeah, well, I went to Florida State, and I was, you know, just trying to meet as many musicians as I could, trying to put bands together, playing open mic nights with random folks. And it was always the hardest thing was finding a good singer back then. And Scott moved to town and actually came to my apartment to say hi to my roommate, and because they were friends back in high school. And then I said, you know, I'm in a band, and I want to start a band. And he wanted to start a band, so we joined forces and started playing open mic nights together, and just kind of an acoustic thing at first, and then we put the band together with a few different musicians that are in it now. Started playing, you know, 4-hour sets of cover songs and anything from the Chili Peppers to Metallica, you know, just tons of different stuff. But we made a demo off of, you know, I was working at Chili's, Scott was working at Ruby Tuesdays, our drummer was working at the knife store at the mall.
Nice.
And Brian was the rich kid who had the parents paying for college, and
right.
he was working on a bass, and then we got our demos done, got it released in the stores, got a record deal, got it on the local radio station, and it just started taking off. It was very highly requested on the radio, and we just started going from there.
Now, I saw a recent interview you did with Jamie Jost on his podcast talking about the possibility of there ever being some new Creed, you know, new music and stuff like that. And you said that you've been working on stuff, or you have at least a full album's worth of ideas ready to go. And I was just curious as to, like, what the status of Creed is at the moment and any chance we'll ever get that long rumored fifth studio album.
Well, you know, I'm just so damn busy right now between Alter Bridge and Tremonti. You know, I had a new book just come out, you know, Live at Robert Hall just came out. I'm writing another Alter Bridge record. So to put anything more on my plate would be impossible.
Sure.
And if I was to do it, I want to have the proper amount of time to make it right. But as far as that sitting on the record, you know, it's just when we were doing the reunion tour, I was throwing ideas at Scott, and me and the band put together some kind of loose arrangements of about 13 songs, and I just kind of have those arrangements on my laptop, just kind of as a snapshot of what we were working on. I listened back to it sometime last year, I think, and yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good start to a record if it ever came to it.
Now, do you find it hard sometimes, like when you sit down and you start noodling something or an idea comes to mind, like do you automatically think, like, that would be good for Creed, or that would be good for Alter Bridge, or maybe I'll save that for the next solo record?
Usually if it's like a speed metal kind of thing, that usually fits just in the Tremonti thing. You know, that's
right.
Why I started Tremonti, because that wasn't something that I could do. You know, I've had the same rhythm section for pretty much my whole professional career with Scott and Brian, and it's never really been their thing to do the speed metal thing, and it was such a big part of my childhood and part of my guitar playing that I wanted to do that with my solo band. As far as Creed ideas, if it's more like accessible, more kind of pop driven, and I admit, I love writing that kind of music. It's just part of how I am as a writer. So I grew up listening to 70s soft rock.
Oh, get out.
Speed metal. So I'm kind of a mixture. I'm a bastard child of the 70s soft rock meets Slayer, you know, so I'm somewhere in between.
So if we hop in your car right now, what CD's in the CD player?
None, because there is no CDs anymore. So
Trick question. well, speaking of Alter Bridge for a second, you just mentioned that you guys released the Live at Royal Albert Hall, which I have. I got it on vinyl. I got one of the bundles that you guys released. I got the AB Crew t-shirt and the double CD
nice.
And DVD and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely fantastic, by the way, for everybody
much.
That's out there listening and loves Alter Bridge. Go pick that up for sure. How did that all come to fruition, and how cool was it to finally execute?
We were speaking with our manager, and he kind of said, you know, we're doing well. The band's growing. The fan base is getting bigger, but, you know, we need to make a big move here. What can be something that kind of stirs stuff up a little bit? How about we do a show with an orchestra? And at first I said, nah, no way. You know, it's either going to be completely the wrong thing to do, or it could be right. But that's, you know, at first I kind of brushed it off. But the more we thought about it, we're like, you know what, if we took and completely changed our set list to songs that suited an orchestra and didn't do our set list we were doing live, played stuff that was more atmospheric and had a lot of space to breathe and where you could really take advantage of the orchestra, that would be great. And so we did. It was a very, very tough project to prepare for, because we're doing, I think we did over 20 songs at night. Now, most of the songs we rarely played much on the live set. So it was a big undertaking, and we didn't get much time with the orchestra to rehearse. So we're glad that it turned out as well as it did. But
and it's,
we're happy we got it done.
Yeah, it's the Parallax Orchestra. I guess that's is that the orchestra that normally plays at Royal Albert Hall?
They have. The Royal Albert Hall is a very strict place. You know, it's a very classy place, and they won't let just anybody play there. So it's as far as letting an orchestra in there, they have to be approved. And they had already performed there in the past, so we figured they'd be the perfect fit. And they were young. You know, you picture an orchestra, usually you're picturing very straight-laced kind of older
sure.
musicians in suits, but or in tuxedos. But this orchestra was a bunch of young, hungry musicians that were genius musicians, but they were more edgy, you know?
Sure.
Simon, the conductor, is, you know, probably the biggest rock star of the night, you know? So it was a great mix to be able to work with them.
And about, like, 45, 50 members of that orchestra performing with you?
I think it was 52.
Oh, wow. Cool, man. Yeah, I consider myself a classically trained percussionist. I started way back when I was in fourth grade playing the drums, but I was always in wind ensemble and orchestra, and I loved playing with the big bands and having strings and horns and all that background accompaniment was super cool. So I thought it was extra neat that you guys kind of brought that together with your sound for this project.
Well, thank you. We're very happy with the way it turned out, and it was something else to be able to perform the songs you know so well and hearing that coming behind you was just, kind of gave you the chills as you performed it.
Sure. And you guys, I mean, you mentioned how busy you guys are. We got Miles with his Slash record coming out next week. You're touring in support of A Dying Machine. What is the status of Alter Bridge at the moment? Obviously, rumor is 2019. Maybe we can anticipate some new music.
Yeah, I'm working hard on getting new songs organized. Me and Miles are kind of busy running around the world, so we just send each other notes. You know, I'll send him ideas over the phone, and he'll say, I dig it. Let's try and find some other parts. And see, I don't write an entire song and send it to him, and he doesn't write an entire song and send it to me, because we want to be part of it, each and every song. So
sure.
We'll send a couple parts that fit and then try to match them with the other person's part. So that's kind of the stage we're at right now.
Is there a lot of back and forth between you guys before you actually get into the studio or actually get together collectively to start jamming out together?
Yeah, I mean, there's more of that in our solo, in my solo band, but with Alter Bridge, me and Miles will come fly in Orlando, and he'll stay at my place, and we'll stay up till all hours of the night to get sometimes one song organized for the next day. To get with the other guys, and then sometimes it's two or three songs. You never know. Sometimes it's nothing. But we like to go into the studio pretty prepared. On this last record, what we did was we did pre-production right off the bat. So me and Miles would do the stuff. The next day, we're in the studio with our producer going over final arrangements for that song. So there's a lot of capturing lightning in a bottle, keeping it exciting. But I prefer doing it the other way, where you're very prepared. And not scrambling for stuff. It worked for that record, but it was kind of a stressful thing for me.
Sure, I gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about the new solo record, A Dying Machine, the fourth studio album released by your band Tremonti back in June, produced by Elvis Basket, who also produced your three prior Tremonti records and all of the Alter Bridge albums, correct?
He didn't do the very first one, but he's done every one since Blackbird.
Okay, so this time around, though, the latest record is a bit of a concept album. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I'm just about to go on stage, and I was in Hungary, and it was 20 minutes till stage time, and I started playing this progression and singing over it, and the words "You're a Dying Machine" kind of came out off the top of my head, and then I kind of wrote a concept for that song. And a week later, when I was done writing the song, I had such a good time in that mind space that I decided, let me write another song that kind of ties into that story. Maybe I could do a 3 or 4 song mini concept within a record. And then once I got 4 songs deep into it, I'm like, you know what, let me go the whole way with this. And when I was about just a couple songs from finishing the record, I told myself, I've always had this bucket list item of being getting a book published. I'm a huge fan of reading, and I respect authors so much that I told myself one day when I retire, maybe when I have the time, I'll write a book, not a biography, but a fictional book. And so I did it, wrote a book based on the record, and or vice versa, a record based on the book. So they're both out now, and it's been some of the most exciting and satisfying creative moments of my career.
I've seen some of the pictures of the book, which I think is super cool, and some of them come autographed as well. What is the overall story, or what is kind of the concept of the book that follows up with this album here?
I don't like to use the word AI because it's been used so many times, but it's just kind of, it takes place at the turn of the next century. And this company has created the first completely synthetic lab-grown human body. Over the years, you develop, the first synthetic heart and the first synthetic liver and kidney. And before you know it, there's a synthetic brain. And now you can pay huge amounts of money to pretty much pre-program a human with 100% human skin and everything mostly human parts to kind of be whatever you want it to be. And it's a story about a man who lost his wife, who develops this woman. They're called vessels, these beings. And he develops her to take the place of his ex-wife and to love him. But she becomes obsessed with him, and she's stronger, and she'll live longer, and things don't go so well for him.
Any chance we can get a visual to back this up eventually, maybe down the line, a little short film or something of the sort?
Well, I hope it's more than a short film. You know, we're right now I'm talking with the agents at UTA, and I'm talking with the head of the literary department, and we're shopping publishing houses, and then at the same time we're going to be shopping TV and movie deal. So it's you know, it's a long shot, but everybody who reads the book and hears the story says, you know, this thing, I can see this thing being a movie. So that got me excited and got me pushing to talk to the right people about it.
Very cool. So you got E-Rock and Garrett on the album with you once again, correct?
Yes.
And they'll be with you this Saturday night at the Electric Factory as well?
Yeah, we have actually, Garrett is taking a hiatus on this tour for personal reasons. We've got a drummer named Ryan Bennett out with us, but the rest of the lineup is the same.
Okay, excellent. Now, let me ask you, Mark, when you first started this solo project, were you looking to be like the front man singer from the very beginning?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I when I was putting together Alter Bridge, I was singing all, you know, the demos and whatnot, and I took vocal lessons, and I came up short. I was like, you know, the songs that I'm writing would just suit another singer better than myself to really hit the full potential. And then however many years later, 15 years, 10 years later, I decided, no, I feel good and confident enough now where I would just want to sing. Because, you know, no matter how great the person is you're working with, there's nothing like singing the idea off the top of your head exactly the way you see it. So, you know, it's a great way to express things exactly how you want, and I get to do the metal thing as much as I want and, you know, the more accessible stuff at the same time. But it's been a great challenge, and I think just doing it kind of makes you much more of a well-rounded musician, taking on new challenges, you know?
Do you ever find it difficult to, I mean, for as fast as you play, and granted, your guitar is pretty much an extension of your body at this point, but for as fast as you play, is it ever hard to keep the lyrics and the vocals going while you're up there shredding and trying to keep, you know, all the tunes in check?
You know, as far as the lyrics go, if you don't practice, you'll just forget lyrics sometimes.
Sure.
I keep a lyric book up on stage, and I plan the set list, and I have the lyric book in the progression of the list on the ground. And most of the time it's just there as a safety blanket and never look at it. But just to feel good, you flip through the pages and make sure they're there just in case you need it. But 99% of the time you get it. But there's that 1% that if you stumble on some lyrics, and you'll start stumbling on the rest. It's just kind of you get in your head and mess up because you think you're going to mess up. But for the most part, if you just practice playing through it, you know, I don't write things that I can't sing and play at the same time. Sometimes you'll go into the studio and you'll fill a space that wasn't filled before vocally. And sometimes you have to get clever with how you're going to perform those live. But for the most part, it's you write a song that you can actually sing and perform, or else there's no point in recording it.
Sure. Cool, man. So, the tour officially starts this Thursday, right? The Poison the Parish tour with Seether?
Yeah, you know, we've had to, with this big storm coming and smashing the Carolinas, the first show has been canceled because it was in Myrtle Beach on the beach in South Carolina. So, there's no way that show's going to happen because they're evacuating the city.
Bummer. All right. So then Friday will be the
show. I think our first show might be in Philly.
Oh, get out. Okay. Yeah. Cool, man. So that's Saturday night. You got Big Story set to open up the show. You guys are going to be on second, of course, direct support for Seether, Sean, and the boys. And some diehard fans even get the opportunity to get some one-on-one time with you. You're offering personal guitar lessons at stops on this tour. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, every time we do, especially headlining shows, I always do a guitar clinic. You know, if people want to come out, I just kind of sit down with them for a few hours and go over whatever they'd like to go over, and then give them a tour of the stage and the guitar rigs. And, you know, they get to go to the band meet and greets and get first in the building and all that good stuff. So I enjoy it. It keeps me on my toes as a guitar player as well.
So MarkTremonti.com for all that information and more. Also, Fret 12 is a really cool website to check out, too, that you're affiliated with, a site that features the likes of Jim Root from Slipknot, Brent and Bill from Mastodon, and many others. Can you tell us a little bit more about the concept that is Fret 12?
Fret 12 started years ago. You know, I used to collect guitar instructional VHS tapes back in college, and then DVDs later in life, and I had over 100 of them. And my brother Dan was like, why don't we do one of these? You know, we could make it bigger and better as far as production goes, bigger and better than anything else out there. because most of those things are just a green screen, somebody sitting down going, here's exercise one. You know, we wanted to make it more of a documentary / instructional experience. And so we made a series called The Sound and the Story. I've done two DVDs for The Sound and the Story, one me and Miles did. I like to do things where what I wanted to have as a kid growing up, I kind of wanted to do that with my own products. Like I didn't want, when I got an instructional tape or a VHS, you know, people would show exercises, but not actually what they did on their CD. So me and Miles did a DVD where we taught every single guitar part on the Fortress record, both guitars. So if somebody wanted to cover it, they know exactly what we're doing. The first one I did was a big, you know, kind of documentary on lifestyle and guitar playing. I taught all the solos from the Blackbird record. But from there, long story short, it turned into kind of a guitar lifestyle place. Gear, they sell gear. They're actually my record label for my solo band. It's kind of a hub for guitar players.
Yeah, it's like a community. Everybody in there chiming and kind of helping one another out. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you were born just outside of Detroit. I know everybody says you're from South Florida and all that, but you were born in Michigan, correct?
Yeah, grew up there until I was about in high school. I lived in Chicago for a couple of years in there, but most of the time I was in Detroit.
So I presume your favorite football team is the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, we kind of got smacked last night.
It was tough to watch, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hopefully we straighten up our game a little bit. You know, I'm not a huge, you know, I don't follow sports as much as the next guy lately because I've been so busy. But if there was any teams that I want to win, it's definitely the Lions.
So I guess that means you
Tigers.
don't fantasy football then?
You know, my son does, so he's all about it.
Yeah.
He's screaming and yelling for players on both teams. And I'm like, why are you rooting for both teams? Because he's got his own fantasy football team.
Well, that in itself is almost like a full-time job, keeping track of all your stats and players and who's on the bench and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. He knows 100 times more than I do about sports, so I keep up through my kids.
So I got to ask you, Mark, today marks the 17th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Where were you and what do you remember from that particular event?
I was in Orlando. I remember waking up, turning on the news, and I think somebody called me to wake me up to tell me to turn on the news. And first tower had gone down, and Eric, actually the guitar player in my solo band, was over. I think we were, I don't know, just hanging out, writing a record or something. And this was way before Trani, but I went in there, woke him up. He pretty much lost his mind when he saw the news. And then almost immediately after, the second tower went down, and everybody was just kind of in shock. I mean, we thought the world was coming to an end.
Yeah.
You know, and then you went through months and months and months of everybody, you know, saying they're going to go join the military and go over and do what's right for the country. Then all the documentaries and whatnot started coming out about Afghanistan and just
sure
what a different world it is over there. And it was just a wild time. It was one of the saddest things I've ever experienced.
Hard to believe 17 years have passed since, huh?
Oh, it seems like it was 5 years ago.
Right.
You know, it still seems so fresh.
Well, Mark, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to speak with us today. I know you speak for a lot of us here in Philly when we're stoked to know that you're going to be coming back through the area and can't wait to hear the new tunes cranked up at the Electric Factory this Saturday night. So I wish you good luck on this tour whenever you decide to kick it off. I know the hurricanes and stuff are kind of throwing you for a loop at the moment. But
oh, yeah.
I guess you being from down in Florida, you tend to get used to stuff like this with all the different storms coming through.
We get beat up all the time, but it's one thing being in Central Florida, but you're right on the coast there in the Carolinas. It's going to be a rough time, so I wouldn't want to be anywhere around that coast at the moment.
Sure, of course. Well, best of luck. Be safe out there. We'll see you on Saturday night. We can't wait. Mark Tremonti, thank you so much for talking to us here at MMR, my friend.
Thank you very much.